Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Noah's excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Father, once again, we thank you tonight for you are in our midst. Because you say where two or three people are gathered together in your name, you are there. So we know that you are here tonight to show us mercy and to grant us great grace. We thank you because of your life that's available to us as a people. We honor you, our King. We thank you, oh, our Savior. Thank you for the spirit of life. Thank you for the spirit of light. And thank you for the spirit of love. Even the spirit that cast out all fear. Thank you for the allocation of tonight. Thank you for the spirit of change. Thank you for the spirit of transformation. Thank you for eternal and enduring substances. Even the very substance that constitutes the Son. And made the Son a priest forever. After the order of Melchizedek. Thank you for such a location here tonight. Thank you for your angels that are here to minister to us, to minister for us, and to minister with us. Thank you for liberty of the Spirit. We honor you, Jesus. We give you praise, O God. I ask for utterance and understanding for every one of us, O God, that both the speaker and the hearer will be blessed. You will make us to be a doer of the word, not deceiving ourselves, O God. Thank for grace to do the work of God. We honor you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, we are prayed. Amen. Amen. It seems that the Spirit of the Lord is one. I've been following closely meetings from the end of October up to now, the meeting of Lighthouse Apostle Center in Ilorin by Pastor Tosin Gabriel. The title of his annual conference, Kingdom Advance Conference, was Caught Up to God and His Throne. And 2 weeks after, Pastor Dimeji Elugbadebo also have their Image and Glory conference in Ibadan, a City Gate Church. The title of the meeting was Melchizedek Order. And here we are when Pastor called and told the theme of the program for Diocese 2017 is the priest. And as if we are not closing it, Reverend also called and said the theme for anamnesis is the appearance. I just knew that we should never be deceived to think that these are just meetings. They are not meetings. Because I believe there is no coincidence with God. God is deliberate. God is precise about what he's doing. Or I will say that God is very particular in what he's doing. I know oftentimes we might have get used to some of these words that we just assume that we know them. And oftentimes because we are related with words and we are church that are based with knowledge-based churches. It's not just churches that are without light, but churches with great revelation and understanding, we just assume that we know things as we all know. But I feel that anytime God begins to bring emphasis, it's because it's time for God to open up a particular portal to his people. When I talk about the word portal, I talk about the word portal means entrance. It means entrance, that God is granting great entrance into such such allocation and such privilege and such blessing. Because every time that God speaks, it's because God wants to bless us. And all God wants to bring us into our blessing. Let me say that. Because we have been blessed already. But anytime God begins to bring forth entrance, and how do entrance come to us? Entrance come to us through understanding. Let's say that. According to the book of Psalms, say the entrance of your word. The entrance of your word. So how God give entrance to his people is by his word. So when God begins to speak in a particular way and begin to enlighten the eyes and begin to open for understanding to us, it's because a portal is granted to us. And what they are granting entrance into is our heart. Because when our heart sees, or our heart begin to perceive God's instruction and God's word, opening is happening to us. Our eyes are open, and by the reason of our eyes being open, we will begin to gain understanding, or we start gaining spiritual understanding. And when we are gaining spiritual understanding, because the entrance of your word gives light, and not just light, and understanding to the simple in heart. And when understanding begins to come to us, then there is instruction we start following. There cannot be instruction to enter without spiritual understanding. Let's say that, God's people. Church, let's talk. That's how I preach. We preach together. So when I'm saying, you say it. Amen. So we cannot enter without spiritual understanding. And the essence of spiritual understanding is to give us step-by-step instruction of how to enter. So priesthood is not just knowledge. It's supposed to be a reality that we ought to come into. And let me quickly start by this, that we are priests already in our spirit. Every child of God is a priest in the spirit. Because the Bible made us to know there is what they call priesthood of all believers. That was one of the teaching that Martin Luther brought at the declaration of the 1980s or 1990s that he placed at the church of God of what in Germany. One of the points was the priesthood of all believers. That all believers are priests. And why are we priests? But we discovered that essence has been lost in the church. A lot of believers does not know that they are priests already in their spirit. And the essence of the doctrine of repentance from dead work. The essence of the doctrine for repentance from dead work and faith towards God, or faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, is built on the ground of the priesthood of all believers. That means there's a priesthood that we come into by believing. There's a priesthood we came into by believing. According to the book of Psalm 1, I have a limited time. Please, you can be. Psalm 132. There are 232 things there that the Bible makes mention that the priest will be clothed with. The priest will be clothed with righteousness, and the priest will be clothed with salvation. Let's say that. That's Psalm 132. So every believer in our spirit, we are okay. Thank you so much. Look at this verse 9. Learn. Give me verse 7 quickly. Or if you can give me 7 and 7 to 9. We shall go unto his tabernacles. We worship at his priesthood. Verse 8. Arise, O Lord, unto thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Verse 9. Let thy priest be clothed with righteousness, And we know that when we gave our life to Christ, the Bible says the spirit is dead because of sin. Do you remember that? And what? The spirit is dead because of what? Sin. And, oh, sorry. Sorry. I'm making a mistake. And what? The spirit is life because of what? Of righteousness. So, we can see that the spirit is life because of righteousness. When we give our life to Christ, according to the book of Romans chapter, is it Romans 10? Yes. He said, with the heart, man believe unto what? Righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto what? Salvation. So, the Bible said, the spirit is life because of righteousness. So, at the time that our spirit was empowered, or our spirit was given the gift of righteousness, when we believe in our hearts for righteousness, and we confess with our mouth unto salvation. So here, we can see, okay, for with the heart, man believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And when we compare that with that Psalm 132 that I read, let thy priest be clothed with righteousness. So our spirit man inherited righteousness. That's why our spirit is life. That's why our spirit, what, is eternal life. And what made our spirit to be eternal life was because of righteousness. Imputed righteousness. Not revealed righteousness. There was imputed righteousness to our spirit. There's two different things. That's where the hyper grace teachers and so people, once saved and saved forever people, are missing it. And people that take the teaching of new creation reality to extremists. That really, yes, we are Christ in our spirit. The Bible says, for he that is joined to the Lord is of one spirit with the Lord. And also, we are baptized unto Christ. And we are Christ in our spirit. So because of that, the gift of righteousness made us to be what? To be priests in our what? In our spirit. And not only that, you can also go to, that will be verse 15. And say, and let thy priest be clothed. What? With salvation. It's also in that verse 32. Chapter 32. I just want Google to establish. Okay, thank you. Can you give me verse 14? I want to see something there. 14. This is my rest forever. You remember where we read from? I said, this is the rest. But this is another second rest. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell. I have desired it. Then verse 15. I will, this time around. Arise, O Lord, let thy priest, arise, O Lord, come unto thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priest be clothed with righteousness. But here, I will abundantly bless. I started by saying, I said, that anytime God wants to bring us into the blessing, we have been blessed. But God brings us into blessing by bringing us into spiritual understanding. I will abundantly bless our provisions. I will satisfy our poor with bread. Then the next verse. I will also have clothed a priest with righteousness. I will also clothe a priest with salvation. Say salvation. So there is a garment of righteousness and a garment of salvation that our spirit receive a new birth, according to what we read. For with the heart, man believe unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10. So we can see that the blessing of righteousness and the blessing of salvation to our spirit man was the clothing of our spirit man with his priestly estates. That's the reason why we can, and the list of that priestly ordination for the spirit man is that we can have fellowship with our spirit. That reason, by the reason of that priestly ordination, we can have what they call the communion of the Holy Ghost. The communion of the Holy Ghost, or the fellowship of the Holy Ghost, is us being initiated to the priestly dimension via what? Our new birth, which is called the priesthood of all believers. So, every born again child of God, because his spirit is life, because of the gifts of imputed righteousness and the gift of salvation that took place in the spirit. So every believer is what? Is a priest in his spirit. So, but you have not come into the fullness of your priesthood. So there's a priesthood in measurements. And the essence of this conference is to clearly lay down to us a journey into priesthood. How we can journey fully into the fullness of our priestly calling. So we establish, because you see some people saying that priesthood is intersection. Yes, I don't argue with that, but it's beyond that. So if you say priesthood is about prayer, about intersection, I don't argue with that. But I would prefer to prayer intersection as part of the activity of the priest. But it's not the core essence of what priesthood ministry. Because priestly ministry is a calling. And that's the calling of all believers. So we can see that priest is... So, I've established that every born again child of God have come into the priesthood of all believers. Or they have come into partial fulfillment by the reason of new birth, because of the gift of righteousness and the gift of salvation to our spirit man. Because the spirit is life because of righteousness. And because the spirit is righteous, into righteousness, and there's salvation program in the spirit. So it's what? Then that is what priest we is. Righteousness and salvation. But beyond that, there is also a further journey. So if our spirit man was a priest, it shows that if we know that man is what? Is triune in nature. It shows that he cannot only, because anything I am in my spirit, if it's not finding expression in my inward man, I cannot operate it. Let's say operate my priesthood. So we can conceive, I came into priesthood in my spirit man by the reason of new birth. But for me to be able to operate my priesthood, I must gain mastery. Let's say mastery. To get mastery is to learn. No one get mastery without learning. No one get mastery without exercise. So, and that is the reason why you see some people said we are priests already. For they will call the book of Revelation, for us make us kings and priests unto our God, and we shall reign on earth. And I don't argue with them. I say yes. Where is that reality? It's in our spirit. It's not, because I can't operate it. I'm still limited somewhere. So let's open the book of Hebrew, chapter 7. Hebrew 7. Amen. Hebrew 7. Let's read from Hebrews 7. Because of our time, let's start from verse 14. Hebrews 7 from verse 14. Look at this. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which the tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. The essence of the book of Hebrew, they were comparing three types of priesthood in the book of Hebrew. And they compared the Levitical priesthood, they compared the Melchizedek priesthood with the priesthood of Christ. Because the priesthood of Christ is in the similitude. Is in the similitude. Just like the last Adam is in the similitude of the first Adam. It's in the similitude. It's not that, you say it's like. So the priesthood of Christ, there's a priesthood that Melchizedek operated on when he was upon the earth, and that priesthood is an ancient priesthood. It's the priesthood of the beginning. That was the priesthood of Abel. Those, they have their own lineage. or the priesthood, Genesis chapter 6, there are a group of people they call the sons of God. You remember? Can you remember? In Genesis chapter 6, they called some people sons of God, saw the daughters of men. And when they were talking about Melchizedek, say, who was according like this, like unto the Son of God. So they were, those were priests. Melchizedek, some people say Melchizedek was a man that never had father, mother, mother. I said, I don't believe that. That they say he doesn't have father and mother does not mean, because Bible is a spiritual language, that you need light to see it. They were talking about Joseph. When Moses was talking about Joseph, he said he was separated from his father, from his brothers, and it was his sisters. But really, that separation was not that he does not have physical knowing. It was not, but the reason of his training, they took him to Egypt and they worked upon him that the same flow that was flowing in his brothers was no longer in him. You know, when Moses, is it Moses or Jacob that was blessing him? Said Joseph, he was separated from his father, from his mother, and from his brethren. Let this blessing be on him. But well, he brought his father and his mother, but they say he was separated. So there's a separation that Melchizedek came into, that he was not following after the order of his father or his mother or of men of his days. But he was a man. In fact, I felt that he was after the order of children that came from Adam. And he was not the only one. There was another one like him called Job, the man in the east. I want to believe that Job, Melchizedek, all of them, they lived in the same period. Melchizedek must have been part of the children of Noah that came after the flood. Remember the Noah, after the flood, there was still Noah's son. He must be part of those who kept the way of the Lord. Sons of God that the flood took, but there were seven souls that were saved. And from them, a generation arose. I kept. So I felt that sonship of Melchizedek is after the order of that sonship of the sons of God in the book of Genesis chapter 6. So the priesthood of Christ was in the similitude, in the likeness. So there were three priesthood that was clearly laid out in the book of Hebrew: Levitical priesthood, Melchizedek priesthood, and the priesthood of Christ. So you say, and it is yet far more evident. I love the word evident. When they use the word evident, they are talking about proof. Proof. Evidence. Proof. For that actor, the similitude of Melchizedek. That means, and what is the other Melchizedek? Which is the order of king and priest ministry. The Levitical priesthood is not after the order of kingly priesthood. In the land of Israel, the king house or the kingship house is different from priestly house. The kingly house is Judah, whereas the priestly tribe is Levi. So when they wanted to raise the priesthood of Christ, which is after the order of the New Testament, is after that of Melchizedek, because Melchizedek is the one that combined both priestly office and his kingly office together. So it's a priesthood with government. It's a priesthood that is attainable by the reason of spiritual government. You will not come into such a priestly status without the governmental training going with it. When I'm talking about the word government, I'm talking the under for government means leadership. The word governance, the word government, I'll say, as long as the heir is a child. As long as the heir is a child, it differs enough from the servants. For he must be under tutor, let's say tutor, and governance. So he must be under tutor and governance. That word tutor is the training. And governance is the it must be under authority. The word government means it must be under authority. It must submit to authority. Spiritual authority is what can produce the principle of New Testament. So he must be. So when they say it starts from Melchizedek, so the government, the priesthood of Christ, as is kingly and priestly, they call the kingdom of priests or royal priesthood. That means is the essence of the government. Let's say government. The word government means dominion. A priesthood that come about by the reason of dominion. You cannot come into your priestly ministry if sin is having dominion over you. You must have come under dominion. As the Lord allows in this conference, I know I'm not able to say all these things. If there's another thing, I'm going to let us know. Because the essence, in fact, Romans chapter 6, 7, 8 was teaching the process of priesthood. Talking about who you come under, dominion you come under. So we can see, and it is yet far more evident, for that is submitted to you of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priesthood. See, so he's saying that this priesthood is not after the order of Melchizedek. There arises another. So this another is not the order of Melchizedek fully, but it's after that similitude. And we know that Melchizedek is first the king of Salem. And the priest is called the king of righteousness. The king of righteousness, the king of peace, the priest of the Most High. The king of righteousness. That's the reason why we also, because of the gift of righteousness, because of the imputed of righteousness, became priests in our spirit. Because the spirit is life, the righteousness. And peace. And the priest of the Most High. And you remember when I talk about the king of righteousness, Isaiah chapter 8 or 9, he was talking about of the increase of his government and peace. The increase of his government and peace. There shall be no end. So there's a priesthood that through his government of peace. When you read the word peace, peace is carrying out the ministry of reconciliation. How you reconcile man back to God. So a man that is not reconciled back to God in his soul. To reconcile simply means if you're a student of accounting or finance, where there's what we call bank reconciliation in accounting and in finance. It's possible for you to check, if you're a business, for you to check what the account, your bookkeeping in the office might not be in alignment with your bank statement at the end of the month. You think, you are assuming that I have 10 million in my account, and here your bank says you're only having 8.2 million. So they have carried away my money. They have carried away my money. No, they've not carried away your money. So the role of the accountant in the office and the accounting team is to print, to collect the bank statements and check the account record, because there are things that do not make both balance to agree. Some of those things may be unpresented check. There's some check that you have issued, that those people that you gave them to have not presented them in the bank to cash them. Or some check, uncredited check, some check have been given to your accountant or to the accountant, but the accountant, the chairman has given to him, but the accountant has not presented it for them to be credited in the bank account. And all that in our so differences are bank charges, interest, loans, overdrafts that you took that you're not even aware, because you have a standing order with the bank that every time we present our check, always give it out. Always honor the check. So they have given you a standing order that if we present a check, you can let it go. Since that you have granted us an overdraft or social amount of money, you have gone. So there are things that can cause disagreement or disparity what in the balances. So the role of the account is to reconcile it until our soul look like the soul of Christ. We are one spirit with Christ. That's why we are joined to the Lord. And we are priests together with him. But if there are disparity in our soul, there's need for reconciliation. And when reconciliation has been carried out in the differences, and you harmonize the configuration of the soul, our soul, you say that man has come into peace with God. But until when the soul is looking alike, there's still disagreement. And because of that thing is did there, you have not fully come into full reconciliation. That's the essence of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said he has given us, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And therefore, now Christ is in us. And he has given us, he gave us two things. First, the ministry and the word of reconciliation. We must undo the ministry and the word of reconciliation. But we know that we cannot come into the ministry of reconciliation until the work of reconciliation has worked upon us. So the word of reconciliation is what qualified us to enter the ministry of reconciliation. And the ministry of reconciliation is priesthood. Because God wants you to now reconcile the body, the whole body unto himself. And the whole body will reconcile nations to God. So the ministry of reconciliation is the ministry of priesthood. So we can see that there's no way that until Christ is formed in us. See, for God was in Christ. So if Christ has not been formed in us, via the word of reconciliation, so that we can make peace with God in our heart and be ready to carry out the work of reconciliation. Amen. So let's quickly go to that Hebrew because of our time. Sorry, am I too fast? Are we okay? Let's answer, please. Yes. Sometimes I talk fast. I know sometimes. Exactly when we are running against time. Okay. Let's go back to verse 15. And it's here far more evidence. For the act of the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest. So we have established that the priest of Christ is in the similitude of Melchizedek. It's not Melchizedek priesthood. But one thing we can see, and what stood out about Melchizedek priesthood, that he is first the king of righteousness. Time will not allow me, I will have read some scripture before, but because of time. Then secondly, the king of peace, and then the priest of the most high. So they are telling us that the priest of Christ is after that similar to it. When you hold the similitude, to me, it's similar to it. Although it's not of the same order, but it's similar to it. It's so that the priesthood of Christ, or the priesthood we have been called upon, is having his kingly, or, because often when you use the word kingly, people abuse it. People will tell you that to do priest is that for me to be a priest in the marketplace. I've seen people talking about that priest that we took over political landscape of Nigeria. That we took all the oil and gas sector, economy sector. We become the, you said that some people said that is what me to be a priest. No, because they always connect kingdom back to the earth, but they refuse to understand the teaching of Jesus Christ. I said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom of this world, my subject will have fought for me. But my kingdom is not of this world. So people connect the kingdom, the kingly or the royal sphere of the kingdom to actually dominion. And it's not. So I prefer using the word kingdom instead of this. I prefer using the word government. The government of God over the life of the people to raise priests after his own order. There is another priest, verse 16. Who is made? Look at this. So it shows that priests are not only born, priests are made. Let's say that. Or, to use new creation language, priests are not only recreated, they are made. Because there's a difference between to create and to make. Let's say that. Let's say there's a difference between to create and to make. To make is a process. To create, especially, is instantaneous. You can see that in that book of Genesis chapter 1, God created. When you go and read everything God created in Genesis chapter 1, in chapter 2, God made them. Go and see. God created, let there be light. All those things, let there be a man. God created man in his image. But in chapter 2, God formed man. So there's between this way between creation and formation. Let's say the word. So the idea that God created in Genesis chapter 1 was God created spiritual components of those things. But God had to bring them into reality. To make them to appear. When I became born again, when I was recreated, I'm a priest in my spirit. But to make me appear as a priest, I must go through the process of making. Even Jesus was made. You know, Jesus did not take up the priestly calling according to the Hebrew chapter 5. They made him. He did not take up that honor. Christ did not take up the honor of being called a priest. For no man taketh this honor to himself. It was after resurrection that Christ entered his priestly ministry. Let's say that. Can we say it again? Christ did not start officiating his priestly ministry when he was upon the earth. It was after resurrection that he entered his priestly ministry. So, a man that have not experienced resurrection power at work in his life, and he says he's a priest, or he says that he's functioning in his priestly ministry, is a liar. Because even Christ did not take that honor of being a priest until after resurrection. The power of resurrection was what consecrated the son. Let's read it. Who is made? So priests are made. Or, because of purpose of understanding, because I know people listen to our messages. And sometimes they quote us wrongly. They say that they say this. Or let me say that. After you have been born in your spirit, and you have received the imputed righteousness and salvation that have made your spirit to be in fellowship, one with the Spirit of God, and you are in communion, in intimacy, and in fellowship, which is a type of your priestly ministry. There is another need for the soul to come into the soul, the inward man, the man inside, to also learn or acquire how to operate the priestly ministry. And for me to acquire to operate my priestly ministry, I need to be made. Who is made? So they're talking about Christ. Who is made? Not after the law of a carnal commandment. Let's say the law of a carnal commandment. So, the priesthood of Melchizedek is not the law of a carnal commandment. The priesthood that was made with the law of carnal commandment was Aaronic priesthood, not Melchizedek priesthood. Melchizedek priesthood or Melchizedek order of priesthood is higher than Levitical priesthood. What made Levitical priesthood or Aaronic priesthood was the law of a carnal commandment. Let's quickly examine this. God, we are trying to classify priesthood and lay side by side. The priesthood of Aaron was given to men that are fallen. Melchizedek priesthood, although, was higher, because when you categorize the degradation, how men are falling is so low. So when they wanted to consecrate Levi and Aaron, God considered which law are we going to use to raise priests amongst them. God knows that they cannot even 7. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we are praying. So I was saying that Levitical priesthood, by the time they were bringing Levitical priesthood, the priest of Aaron, sin has reigned from Adam to Moses. And because sin has reigned from Adam to Moses, man have become so weak that the law that they can use to consecrate that priesthood for mankind was the blood of bull and goat. Because you know how superior a priesthood is by looking at the material that you use to consecrate it. In the day of Melchizedek, they don't need bull and goat. You know that when Adam and Eve fell, God killed animal. God was not using animal to atone for them. They were still enjoying the ministry of God's face, or the ministry of God's presence. You remember that even Cain, after he killed Abel, he was still open to the voice. The ministry of the voice was upon the earth, because the ministry of the voice is the ministry of his face. Because by his voice, he cast his face upon the people. That's why the man, Adam has fallen. They were still hearing God's voice. You remember? That even maybe he fell, he still died in Eden. He hid himself and used his lips to cover himself. And God asked him, Adam, where are thou? He said, we heard your voice walking in the garden. We heard your voice and we hid ourselves. If after Cain killed his brother, God asked him, Cain, where are thy brother? And Cain could hear. Can you hear? But when they wanted to consecrate Levitical priesthood, God told the children of Israel to come to the mountain. Hebrews chapter 11, capture it. That was it. For they entreated that the word should not be spoken unto them. For they said, we cannot hear the voice of God. We will get, we die. So the ministry. Okay, sir. I can even go outside. Thank you, sir. So we can see that when they wanted to consecrate Levitical priesthood, what they could use to consecrate Levitical priesthood was Kana. Let's say Kana. Adam was not Kana after he fell. When you say someone is Kana, you are talking about a man that death has worked so much on his mind and his heart. Romans chapter 8. Let's go and see it. I was teaching this last Saturday. I couldn't finish it in writing the vision in Lagos. So I will try and finish it here so they can listen to it. Let's read from Romans 8. Okay, I think I have like 15 minutes more. Amen? I think so. We can't finish. We just do it and stop. Next time, we continue. Pastor, will have you? What do you want to do now? Oh, the second square is not around yet. We just do it until it comes. For what the law could not... Let's read from verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, I made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 3. For what the law, this law is what they call the law of carnal commandments. That is the law that the commandment that he gives is a carnal commandment. Book of Hebrews, which has to do with carnal things. Washing of hands. Washing of feet. Washing of clothes. Those are carnal, those commandments. What that law can prescribe are commandments for carnal, physical and earthly cleanliness. It cannot clean the inward man. It does not have commandment, or it does not have instruction that can purge the heart, purge the mind, and purge the conscience. For what the Lord could not do, in that he was weak, through the flesh. Why? So because there's another law in the flesh. And the law cannot command man cannot be even with the law in the flesh. There's a law in the flesh, there was a law in the soul, and there was a law in the spirit man. I'm talking about a dead spirit before Christ came. Because there was a law. That's why the spirit is dead because of sin. So when I say the spirit is dead because of sin, I mean the spirit is dead because of the law of sin and death in the spirit man before Christ came. What Christ delivered the spirit man from, he broke the power of the law of sin and death that is at work in the spirit man. Because look at God said it to Adam and Eve. For in the day that you shall eat of this tree, you shall surely die. When the spirit man died, the law of sin and death took over the spirit man and began to rule, or began to govern, or began to have dominion over the soul and dominion over the flesh. So, for what the law, or the law, the carnal commandment, could not do, in that it was weak. I mean, when you compare to the law that is at work in the spirit, in the soul, and in the body, that law, carnal commandment, is too weak. That it can't combat it. It can't purge and erase and correct that law, carnal, that law of a fall, the law of sin and death in the flesh. You remember verse 1, for now therefore there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death in the flesh. So there's a law of sin and death in the flesh, in the soul, and in the spirit man. But at new birth, they dealt with that law in our spirit man. And they what? And they gave us the law of righteousness and salvation. Or they clothed us with righteousness and salvation and imputed it to our spirit. And so we became Christ. Our spirit is life. Our spirit is Christ. Because of righteousness. But that same law is present in our soul. And it's also present in our body. For what the Lord could not do that he was weak. Through the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of the flesh. You know, some people say, they're going to say God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. It's not sin, it's not sin, it's not sinful flesh. It's in the likeness. Jesus' flesh does not have sin. He does not have the law of sin and death in his flesh. Jesus has the law of a living soul in his spirit before he experienced resurrection power at new birth. He was called the last Adam. But eventually, they kept on upgrading him, or they came into the fullness of God bodily before he went to the cross. Before he went to the cross, he came to the fullness of God. But he just needed what? He needed to lay down that thing so that he can open a way for us. Everything of Jesus Christ there is for us. If Jesus Christ could have stayed on the earth by what he has acquired and be living to date, he has so much life. And it was not limited. But he needed to lay down that because he said that God, a great occult fall to the ground and die. It abide alone. If he didn't die, he would have been the only one that have that kind of life. But his death is to sow that seed so that many can also come in the same pedigree that he came into before he died. God sent his son in the likeness of a sinful flesh for sin. Look at it. So, it's for one purpose. For sin. So, why Christ came is to deal with sin. And to deal with sin is to deal with the law that drives sin. For sin condemns sin in the flesh. Verse 4. That the writing of the law, that the writing of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh, do mind. This is the way I'm going to. I was saying that. Say, why God could not give them even the law of a living soul? Or the program of a living soul, it's because of something that's happened to their mind and their heart. For they that after the flesh, it's not they can't do it, they can't themselves. Do mind. Tell them don't mind. They can't because there's a law at work. Just like when you tell a dog not to bark, he can't stop him. Because the program is at work in him, we must always make him. When you tell a sister, don't lie. She keep lying. It's not her fault because it's a law. New year resolution cannot stop that thing. Change the law, you change who she is. That's why when they talk about priesthood, they consecrate priests with laws. We can't talk about our priest without consecration, without the law. Law is what consecrates us. For they that are after the flesh, do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. This is 2 Corinthians, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Eyes have not seen, neither yet what God has prepared for those who love the spirit. The spirit is the all things. Yea, the deep things of God. For for the spirit, the deep things of God. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Okay, no, let's go back because of time. What you are reading? Romans 8. Thank you, Lord God. Romans 8. The system is hanging. Okay. Okay, verse 5. Oh, yeah, give me 6. For to be carnally minded. Look at it. So, Aaron or Levitical priesthood was consecrated with carnal law, carnal commandment. For to be carnally minded is death. So, when you say a man is carnal, a man can be Adam as sin in spirit, but he was not carnal. Abel as sin in his spirit, but they were not carnal. But when death walked further in a man, and take away all the properties of living soul, that life that God kept in the soul. And how do that thing reign? It reign by the knowledge of good and evil. The knowledge of good and evil began to corrupt. It corrupted the residual deposit of life in the soul. It kept on breaking it down. That was Book of Romans was saying, for sin, reign. I was saying, for death, sin, reign, and death reign from Adam. So the reign of sin is gradually introducing the soul. When I say the soul, the heart, the mind, into carnality. So carnality is the reign of death in a man. Let's say that. All the prophets of old in the New Testament, they have sin in their spirit man. Because the Christ came, that sin was death in our spirit man. But the way they trained them, they trained their soul not to be carnal. In fact, one of the teaching for the prophets, why they led them in the cave, inside rock, why they go to Delhi, is so that their soul will not descend into carnality. That's one of the essence of the training of the Old Testament. And those who endured that training are the prophets. Either the prophets that spoke to the nation or prophets that keep the ways of the Lord, like Job. Those are not prophets that prophesy, but these are prophets by God's ways. They kept the ways of the Lord. Like Enoch. Those are prophets. That's the Enoch prophesies. Those are prophets. Or like Abraham. For he's a prophet. Return back and he shall pray for you. Abimelech. Those are not, they didn't prophesy by giving prophecy, but they are prophets by the way. The essence of God led them and trained them is so that their own soul will not become carnal. Because when a man, when sin begins to encroach into the heart and begin to take away every residue of life, when God, let me drive it home. When we say life, let's say life. Life is ability to respond to God. And when I say I'm responding to God is not God. What do you say? Yes, I can hear you. Responding to God is to please God. Is to do what pleases God. That's how you respond to God. You may not have any dream, but as long as you are doing what pleases God, you are responding to God. And that's how you measure that you have life in you. Because if you can't respond to God, it's so that death has worked in a man so much. Because what death is God? Death is like a cankerworm or like a termite. It hits out. No, a termite can be walking on a big tree inside. It's sitting, and everything is looking fresh outside. One day, you just fall, boom. was because something. So carnality is a product of workings of death in a man. When death has worked upon the mind, that when that man is thinking, he can't think outside what he can see. He can't think outside what he can hear with his physical ear. He can't think outside what he can taste with his tongue. What he can taste with his tongue is more real to him than what David said, taste and see that the Lord is good. What is a reality to that man is what he can handle with his physical hands. If just they are not within the realm of senses, he shut off on it. He can't relate with it. He can't connect with it. He cannot bring it near unto himself. And that is what sin, that is what death does to a man. That's the reason why I said that. Though sin was in Adam, Adam didn't join into carnality because they could still hear God. Even Abel could still hear God. It was Abel that opened door to sin. You remember in what? In Genesis. When he came. They came to him and said, sin lies at the door. Before that time, sin was in the spirit of every those men on the earth. But sin was not in their soul. Which is where the mind, the heart, are the seat of those things. Immediately they knew what they did. They shut door against sin. That sin should not enter. But through one man disobedience, sin entered the world. And death through sin. Because death cannot ravage a soul until when sin has entered. Sin, their companion. So in Genesis, sin, Adam, Eve, Abel, those guys didn't allow sin to come into their sanctuary, which is their soul. Because our soul is our sanctuary. That's our holy place. Our soul is our holy place. That's why we keep things. So the reign of death on the mind is carnality. That means how much a man has been killed within. That was death. How much a man has died. And there are measure and pedigree of carnality. Carnality is in stratas. It's how much death has worked in you, a man. You know that man is carnal. When you see a man that is believed that he can marry us, that man is really dead. He's really dead. His carnality is very terrible. So, to be carnally minded is death. No one will talk about carnally minded. That is a beauty to the man that is not, that don't understand what is carnality. So, because man was so carnal, that was the state that has ravaged man. So, when they were bringing forth the law to consecrate man, they can only bring a law that a carnal man can receive. Look at the four guys that they call the four miserable comforter of Job. Look at what those guys knew. We don't have preachers in 2 Samuel. A lot of our preachers, they don't know one tenth of what those guys knew, and they call them miserable comforter. Look at those instructions. Look at Eliu. What he was talking. Look at their judgments. They look at what those mind trap, because they are talking about all the abundance of communion. And those guys are priests, because God told Job, say, go to Job, so if I pray for you, he shall offer and pray for you. So those guys, because Book of Psalm made us to know, and Hosea, say, for the mouth of a priest I keep knowledge. So what those guys were talking about, they were talking about the knowledge of the holy, the knowledge of God, the friend of Job, they were talking about God. But God said, you have not spoken of me well. That the knowledge you spoke about me is not well. It's not thorough. But those guys, that you are, it's not accurate. Although, that knowledge is a knowledge of me, but it's not in a pure form. It's still diluted. You guys need to still learn and know me more. It was only Eliu, the youngest amidst them, that the knowledge of God was accurate. The three, they fell. So we can see that When God came in the day of Aaron, sin and death has reigned. God cannot even give. You know the knowledge that Job they are having about God. You know, it's not even the knowledge of eternal life. Because eternal life is another body of knowledge. The knowledge that Job and his friends, Abraham, the knowledge that they related with is still a similitude. It's only Christ that brought the real knowledge of God to us. Because God is a terrible being. He has many rap, many folds of his knowledge. You would think you are knowing, but you don't know that's the form knowledge. It's not even the real knowledge of God. So we can see that God could not even teach them the knowledge that the life of Job, his friend Abraham, knew. They had to think, go down, that these people, let's just give them the law that runs bull and goat. What that law? Because the law of Cana commandment is the law that is running bull and goat. Bull and goat was so much higher than man when God consecrated the priest. You don't believe it? When I say it was higher than man, not by the reason of invention, but by the reason of the soul contents. When you go see, God will see that bull and goat, and you don't need to go far. He know that Iroko tree is stronger than us. We push to even live 80 something years. But we have some Iroko tree that can live 200, 300 years. Eagle can change strength, but you can change your own strength. The guy will pull out his feather and restore back his usefulness and live another 100 years, 200 years. But man here, when he live 50 years, we come and bring drum out. And we are tying gele and doing yellow omoloku. Man have been so beaten down, death has reigned, that even our judgments have been so beaten down. It was when man have been beaten down that God came. God looked at man, no. We can't even give you the covenant. We can't even give you the law that made up the fathers. You are low. There have been carnality that has worked upon this mind and upon this heart. That even when you are telling them, just like when you are teaching some people, when you start teaching, 5 minutes, they are started sleeping. But when you are talking about seven buttons to spiritual prosperity, they are alive. When you are talking 101 principles or how you can move your business to the next level, they are hearing. But by the time you start bringing four spiritual things, you know, Paul was talking to that, to Corinthian church. For when I come to you, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I cannot speak chapter 3. I cannot speak unto you as unto being spiritual, but as unto being carnal. So Paul was saying that what I'm speaking, I'm giving you carnal, even just like they say, carnal ministration or carnal law that they use to consecrate Levi and Aaron. Also in the New Testament, there's also a carnal word for a carnal believer in the church to upgrade it to become spiritual. What does God tell us? God tells us that God is a wise, competent Savior. Because you know that if the word is going to speak to you, he'll be speaking above your head. And he wants to reach you. So he will come down to your level and gradually be able to reconcile you to himself. So when God came to the children of Israel, but you know, the same law that consecrated Aaron was not the law that consecrated Moses. Moses was higher than Aaron. Moses was consecrated by the way. That's the reason why he does not need to offer blood to enter. Aaron was only permitted to enter most holy place once in a year. But Moses could enter 7 times in a day. And he does not need blood nor water to do it. Because the way consecrated him. So Moses was operating another law that is different from the law that consecrated Aaron. Even in the same dispensation. So because Moses was a priest also. Moses was from Levi. From Levi. He came from the Levitical priesthood. So Moses was also a priest. But we can see that the law that consecrated Moses is different from the law that consecrated Aaron. So the law that consecrated Aaron and Levi, they call them the law of Cana commandments. So if you want to, let us apply it to the New Testament now. So it can show that What was given to Aaron, we can say it's like the milk of the word that you are giving the New Testament church now. And the best that the milk of the word can do, milk of the word can't change the state of the heart. Although it can deal with the fitness of the flesh when you receive sincere milk of the word. Like what our fathers, my parents are SU. They said, remember when the was Bible study before it became a church, my dad used to take me there. I was so young. I can tell you my dad is so faithful. My dad doesn't know too much of no revelation. But his word, my dad was working with government. He never collect bribe. He does not give bribe. You know all those things. He never commit fornication, never commit adultery. What brought him, when they said the carnal commandments, what he could do, with physical cleaning of the flesh. But he could not do inward work. So likewise in the New Testament, meek of the word, when you are sincere meek of the word, pure meek of the word, it can deal with business of the flesh. When a man is now within the church, that people, choir master is fornicating with the choir members. Because he didn't receive sincere meek. Because those are what meek of the word deals with. You see people that there's a Christian that is saying there's a purple lie and white lie. And he says he's a Christian. And he's having white light and green light. You know, it's not possible. Because it's because there's absence of what? Of the meek of the word. So we can see that carnality have not even been dealt with in the slowest form. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 was talking about two things there. Say, having therefore these promises, let us purge ourselves from fitness of the flesh and fitness of the spirit. So the only thing that can address fitness of the spirit is inward, the giving of the word, inward law. Amen. So we can see that to be carnally minded, to a carnal mind, is a mind that death has walked. And when we are talking about death, thank you, Spirit of God. When we are talking about death, death is not physically falling down. It's beyond that. Death is separation from life. Death is when life of God is not flowing to a man. You know something? That's why one of the challenges we have in the church that we have a dysfunctional Christian faith. Men have life in their soul, but that thing is not flowing. Have life in their spirit, but it's not flowing to the soul. God gave life to the spirit. And why? Because there's no yet connection. And the only thing that's supposed to chart life from the spirit to the soul is knowledge. The door of knowledge. It's supposed to open for life flow from the spirit man into the soul. And so we have life trapped down. So we now have life like a lake that cannot flow. So the spirit is like a river flowing, but it's like a lake settled and shut down within. But the intention of God is that New Testament is not priesthood, is not consecrated by the law of the carnal commandment, but it's consecrated by the power of an endless life. So that thing called the power of an endless life is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. Because if you see that Romans chapter 8, what they call the power of an endless life, it began to describe in Romans chapter 8. To be carnally minded is dead, but to be carnally minded is life and peace. If you can keep reading. He now begins to say, for as many as are led by the Spirit are called sons of God. And sons of God are priests in the New Testament. Those are the priests of the New Testament. But by God's grace, along the meeting, we are still going to share more light on this. Let's bow our head and begin to thank God for tonight. Oh Lord, we thank you, Lord. Oh, we give you glory. I want us to begin to ask that God, there will be so much life in this conference that life content in our soul will be on the increase. That we are trusting God that they will begin to write the law, because this is the covenant we made with them the last day. I will write my laws in their heart. Then another one says, I will write my laws in their mind. Both chapters 8 and 9 of Hebrew. I will put it in their mind. No one will say his neighbor, know the Lord. For they shall know me from their least to their greatest. And their iniquity
will I remember no more. But this time will be a time of cleansing, washing. They will consecrate us further and put law of our priesthood into us.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.